Hello, welcome back to Can I Have a Word? This is the third of three episodes from the archive, the last one of the archive. Now this is cool, because no more archive on. Brand new episode coming. Yay! Huzzah! But yeah, this one is a New Year's Eve one. Yeah, so that's cool. And hopefully we won't let it do, you know, a whole year before releasing more episodes. Yeah. Let's not do this archive thing anymore. Yeah. On with the show!
So hello again. We are, obviously it's in French, new arrivé dans la guerre du Nord. Yeah, à Paris.
À Paris, oui.
Because we're now heading back to Angleterre on our little travelling thing. So yeah, anyway, so here we go again for another fabulous, exciting episode of
Can I have a word?
And so yeah, and my name is you're Harry.
And I'm Phil.
No, that's not right. One way, yeah.
You're Harry and you're Phil.
I'm Phil.
Yes.
Anyway. So you're Harry.
And you're Phil.
There you go.
Sorry.
And together we are
Harry and Phil.
And we do this podcast where we have, and it's called Can I Have a Word? Where we have a random word and we talk about it and for about 45 minutes. So this is a special one because we're travelling, so it's probably going to be in at least two parts. So there will be a change at some point.
Yes.
Anyway.
Apologies, listeners, if we sound not awake or if we sound a little bit blurry.
Oh, yeah, tell me about it.
A little bit coughing, a little bit stuffed like a turkey on
Christmas.
Christmas Day.
Yes.
Because we're both a bit sick.
Yeah, no,
we haven't got COVID,
no, thank God,
because
no.
We keep getting tested.
Yep.
But we do have a cold, a massive bloody cold.
Yep,
so I was fine until my dear, sweet Phil.
Sorry.
Who I live with gave me his cold.
Yeah, sorry about that. So, yeah. So we're all going to be out a bit.
Also, we were meeting my family and, like, you know, visiting and saying hello. And now my mom has started to blow her nose a lot morning. My stepfather keeps coughing. I do wonder why.
Apologies. I shouldn't have been snogging your dad in that way.
It's not my dad, it's my stepfather. But fair enough.
Well, no, I snogged your dad and then your dad snogged your stepdad. Is that right? Oh, no, I shouldn't have called her that.
That sounds really weird.
That's one
sounds wrong.
Wild Christmas.
That sounds really wrong.
Should we?
Can I press the random word? I want to press.
All right, here we go. This is the word we got. Inform.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So what is the word...
We're going to talk about social media again.
No, I'm going to try not to.
Strap-on.
What is the word... No, I'm not... Are you going to talk about strap-ons? Let's not do that. What is the word inform? Let's try to keep it to the subject. What does the word inform spring to your mind? When someone says, oh, I'm going to inform you of this, or you've just informed me of that, bubbles up
when
to the surface?
When I think about inform, I think of... Well, there's a bunch of stuff that comes to mind.
Go on, then. Name
there's
one
like
of them.
Informal. I know it's like completely different subject.
It works.
But that's the first word that came into mind. Informal, as in like...
Casual.
Saying no, as in like being like cursing and stuff like that. That's what I thought when I thought of informal.
Oh, okay, so not formal language.
Or casual, yeah, not formal language or casual clothing
swearing.
Yeah, swearing.
Which we don't do on this podcast. We're very good like that.
No, we tried not to, but it's really hard. Brain.
So, what were the other ideas you had about informal?
No, it was inform. I was thinking the second idea. That's it.
Yes.
Inform. I had the in my brain. It goes. It doesn't go a lot of things today, but it goes news. The news on telly.
Oh, it informs you.
As
of
in,
things.
It informs you of things.
Okay.
But I don't watch news.
No. Why don't you watch the news?
Oh, thank you for asking, my dear sweet co-host. I don't watch the news because it depresses me.
Oh.
It tells you about everything that's wrong in the world.
So should they not do that? Should we have happy news?
No, that's not what I'm saying, because if everything is wrong in the world and the only news about the world is that everything is wrong, fair enough. But I mean,
I think that's the thing.
Although,
yeah, go on.
In France,
mm-hmm. Yes,
the news,
yes.
Very much different as in the UK, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, no, we will.
Tell us about your experience of the news in the UK, in France.
What's the name of the show? Because I didn't actually catch the name of the show we've been watching.
Ah, Le 20h.
Yeah.
The 8 o'clock.
The 8 o'clock. And when you think of the news in the UK, it is somebody sat behind a desk or a virtual set nowadays with pictures telling you about serious things around the world. About, oh, this is a journalistic thing that is somebody's done something and this is what we're telling you. We're telling you the facts and it's the truth. And you just think, okay, and it's vital and it's important and it's happening right now. And we have to tell you this, and then various news stories that would be essentially like a newspaper or something like that, or dare I say a news site, to try to make it modern, he says. Sounding really old. But the idea is that it is journalistically vital. And, you know, important that you know right now, and it's happening now, and it's telling... I mean, the emphasis there is on the word news, in the sense that it's not old.
Yep.
Yeah? It is, it's current affairs.
Yes.
Quite literally. So, when we were watching... What's it called again?
Le 20h. The 8 o'clock.
The 8 o'clock. It's an hour-long news programme, and for the first half...
Well, about an hour.
Yeah, yeah. All right, but for the first half, it is like a standard news program with you know, important news of the day, and then
all of the depressies.
Yeah, all of the depressies. Now, and then about halfway through, for the last half an hour or so, suddenly it just suddenly becomes the one show, and they're giving you, like, you know, little mini documentaries about various things, and it's just like, what? How is this news? Well, it's not. Says my erstwhile other host. Here?
Well,
it's stuff it's, we thought we might like to let you know about.
It is kind of news, because it's always kind of related to the time of the year. As in, if it's Christmas, they'll tell you about where is the salmon that you're going to eat at Christmas, because everybody eats smoked salmon at Christmas in France. I don't know about everywhere else, but they do in France. Where is the smoked salmon that you're going to eat at Christmas for Christmas dinner comes from? Where is it bred and stuff like that?
So
at Christmas we tend to really like exotic fruits for some reason. So they tell you about where does the exotic fruit come from and how much does the producer would like... get on it and how much you pay it in the end and stuff like that and capitalism, yay, or how do toy stores get ready for Christmas time because it's a crazy time and stuff like that. You know, it's like little documentaries on how stuff work in, like, for you and like in certain times of the year kind of thing.
Wasn't there one about lots of naked people or strippers or something? I can't remember.
Oh, no, that wasn't strippers. That was, I see what you mean, a cabaret.
Yes.
It was about how in at the end of the year, people like to go to the cabaret, especially for New Year's Eve and Christmas, but especially New Year's Eve, and how in France, cabaret often means burlesque.
Yes.
Which often means naked ladies.
Yes,
on
and I was
telly.
Thinking, on the news, we had naked women.
Yep.
Not because they'd done anything in particular.
Not naked. Topless.
But this is the news we're talking about. And if they'd done something specific, like...
They were dancing.
But they do that a lot.
They weren't just there.
Well, what I'm saying is, dancing naked women isn't really news in my head. I mean, I'm not saying it shouldn't exist, but I'm just thinking, journalistically, it's a bit dodgy. That's all I'm saying.
Is it?
Well,
people talk about cabarets, and it just so happened that cabarets have naked ladies in them.
Yeah, no, I get that. I was just thinking, I've got a feeling it was just somebody...
I need to blow my nose. Hold on.
All right.
Insert little jingles of babbity-babbity-ba. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
So we've moved, and we're now
in the train.
In the train, actually, in Eurostar, and we're
which is a train.
Which is a train, and it's going from Paris, Gay Paris.
Gay Paris?
Well, yeah, it's Gay Paris is what it's referred to, isn't it?
No.
It is famously Gay Paris. I mean, I don't know.
What are you all about?
What do you mean? You're trying to tell me, as a French person, you've never heard of Paris referred to as Gay Paris?
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, it is often referred to
what
as...
What makes Paris gay?
Well, I was going to ask you that. I was thinking, is gay particularly of the LGBT...
Is Paris a lesbian?
Well, is it a feminine, is it? I don't know if it's masculine
or
feminine.
Well, we tend to say that cities are feminine.
Oh, right. Okay.
Don't know why.
Yeah, so, okay, fair enough. Are we saying that Paris is a lesbian? I don't know. It's referred to as Gay Paris.
Okay, fair enough.
But I thought it was going to go somewhere, but obviously, is there a lot of gayness in Paris? Is it particularly...
I wouldn't know. I don't live in Paris.
No, but you might have heard of the fact that it is.
I don't.
You don't know anything about Paris?
No.
Well, that was a conversational dead end.
Well, there we go. Welcome back to the podcast, people.
So, what were we talking about? Naked women.
Oh yes, on news.
Yes, so I was just kind of curious because I don't think that would happen in the UK. I don't think they'd. I mean, at the very least, if it would have to be a naked woman doing something particularly newsworthy.
Well, it's not about the news because that's not the news part, is it?
Yeah, but it is on the news.
It's the documentary part.
Yeah, I just think it's some TV producer going, right, okay, what can we have? It's Christmas. Let's give all the dads a, you know, a nice little. Thing, a present, have some naked women on the telly. Do you think?
No.
No?
I think it's just
French.
About... Yeah, no, it's just being French.
Yeah, fair enough.
Talking about cabarets and stuff.
I mean, there's another show that's got a cabaret and naked, or semi-naked women in. What's it called? The one that is the 20th anniversary show. You know, you saw an advert for it.
Oh, the biggest cabaret in the world.
Yeah, but it's not called that.
It is called that.
Yes, yeah, in
le plus grand cabaret du monde.
See, there we go. See, so it's because it's been in French.
Yes, quite.
Yeah. So, and that just tends to be old white men surrounded by girls in practically nothing.
No.
Well, some of
no,
it.
No, that's the trailer.
Yeah,
that's the trailer. That is not what happens. Okay, at the beginning. You have girls in very little garments that dance and stuff, and like they're pretty and they dance around and they have massive feathers and it's pretty. And then you have the host, and he comes in between the ladies and he's go, oh, wonderful ladies, thank you very much, and look how pretty they are, and blah blah blah. And then he starts like talking to everybody, and then there's like a whole bunch of like. Different entertainment stuff,
yeah.
As in you have like circus people and dancers and gymnasts,
yeah,
and dancers. I said dancers, didn't I?
You did.
And magicians and comedians.
I mean, it sounds like a good show. It's not really something we have in the UK. I mean, we've got Britain's Got
Talent. It's really
talent.
Fun.
But Britain's Got Talent.
But it's not like that,
yeah,
though.
Because it's
not a competition. It's just showing you something that is a bit. Fun
and how often
and
is it on? Is it once a year? Or is
okay,
it...
so it used to be, if I think, I can't remember. I can't remember if it used to be every Saturday, or if it used to be like once every 2 weeks or once a month. I can't remember. I think it was every Saturday, but I'm not sure. Not anymore though.
So it used to
because
be...
the host is a bit
old.
Well, yes, but no. The host has had a bit of a... How do you say?
Work done?
No! Not at all. No, he was... how do you say it? Like, controversial?
Oh,
about
right, okay.
Stuff that he says?
Okay.
Like, he's a bit like...
dodgy?
Not dodgy, but more like... I don't trust the government and, like, F the government and stuff like that and, like... They just, like, I don't trust no one and, like, stuff like that.
Right, so he...
And so he's, like, always, like, saying bad stuff about the government. And so people don't like him because he has, like, big...
Opinions.
Ideas and opinions and is not very quiet about it.
So we're saying he's basically French Piers Morgan? Is that what we're saying?
Yes, I suppose. But right. more left.
More left. Okay.
More like give the power to the people less money.
So just to clarify, he's left wing. He's all about power to the people, and he's surrounded by semi-naked women.
Is a bit
that's living the life.
Is a bit more left wing, I would say.
But yeah,
is a man of the people.
I bet he is.
He's a simple man with simple wants. Stuff like that.
But so anyway, so
he wants friends, a bit of good food, and a bit of good partying, and a bit of good alcohol, and ladies, and that's it.
I mean,
that's what he wants in life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't drink or party, but you know, generally speaking, that doesn't sound like a bad lifestyle if you can get that one down. But because he expresses a negative opinion towards the government, they don't let him be on telly.
Not just the government. I think what happened, I'm not entirely sure, but I think what happened is he basically he said something wrong about the channel that was doing.
You don't mean the tunnel, do you?
The channel.
Tunnel, we're about to go into.
Oh my god.
No, you mean the television channel.
The television channel.
I was trying to be clever and witty in referring to fact that we're on the Eurostar.
I know. But
I can say, how can you complain about this wonderful thing?
Oh, Jesus Christ. No, I'm going to sneeze again. I'm so tired of being sick. Maybe it's gone.
Anyway, so yeah, he complained about the station.
I think he complained about the telly channel thingy.
And they let him carry on being on the telly.
No, they didn't like that.
No,
and I think that's why he lost his show on this particular channel. But he was friend with another host that basically is the god of a group of channels.
Oh, I see.
And because he's friend with him, he ended up doing the 20th anniversary of that show on another channel because he was friend with someone else.
Got it. So they brought the show back, but on a different channel. But part of the same group.
Different group.
Different group.
Completely
wow.
different group.
But they've managed to bring the show back.
Oh yeah, definitely. Same place, same people, and everything.
Awful.
No, I don't think he did something. He said something awful. I just think he said that. He said something a bit controversial, but because it's like the equivalent of like BBC Two or something like that.
No, right.
They said, "Ooh, we can't say that because we're not like a private channel. We're like a public channel. Therefore, we can't say controversial stuff. So please keep quiet about such taboo subjects."
Okay,
yeah, and he was like, "No, F you. I want to say whatever I want to be able to say." And like, you're trying to like stop me from expressing myself. And then they were like, "Yeah, but like, really, stop, because we'll stop you if you don't." And he went, "F you." And then, yeah, basically he lost his job because he was trying to say whatever he wanted to say. But
So it's a case of somebody's ego thinking that they're untouchable, and that also that the station will do anything, and you know, the talent is more important than the reputation of the station they're on. And I don't think that ever goes well for the talent.
No.
They, it's not the only, I mean, yeah, this thing about television stations, they have to protect their reputation.
Well, quite, because basically, I think what happened was is, I want to be able to say whatever I want.
Yeah.
No, because we're a public channel and we have public money, therefore we can't say whatever we want. Okay, bye then, if you don't let me say what I want. And the channel went, okay, bye.
You what exactly?
And he went, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can't blame them, really. Dare I say, in a similar way, you've got British talent, people who think that they are beyond. Oh no! Let me come back at this another way. Right. Okay. Simple one is people think about John Barrowman, right? And at the moment, the BBC, and he hasn't been as yet officially been punished, as it were, for any of his wrongdoings. he's being investigated. But in the meantime, the BBC are saying we can't have anything to do with him until that is been resolved. And people are going, oh, well, he's being punished for stuff that he, you know, may or may not. No, they're just protecting themselves. It's the same as we've talked before about
Johnny Depp.
The Disney just don't want to go anywhere near anything that's a bit dodgy. Whether on
not only Disney, Warner too, yeah. Because that's Warner that Warner Bros. Were doing the Harry Potter's,
yeah.
But Disney, consequently, Disney just went Pirate of the Caribbean. No,
yeah, that's true.
No, thank you.
It's the same though with any of this. When you've got a public persona, you've got to be aware that you're only as good as the reputation you give the platform that you're going on to.
Yeah.
No one wants to associate with anything that's a little bit dodgy because it rubs off on the station. I mean, I'm thinking of what's his name? The stand-up comedian who's been saying things. You might know him. I think he was saying some kind of transphobic stand-up comedian.
Oh dear.
Yeah, is it transphobic stuff?
I don't know.
Chappelle,
I have no idea what you're saying. David Chappelle.
Yeah, didn't he say something? And Netflix have been showing his stuff on their platform, and people are going, "Ooh, Netflix, it supports, you know, people who have opinions that are different to our own. Netflix shouldn't be doing that." And it's literally the other side of the argument of Netflix going, "Should Netflix as a platform only have talent on it?"
Well, the thing is, they paid for like a certain amount of months/years of owning. As in, like, they go, oh, I want this movie for 2 years on my platform, so I'll pay for 2 years of that. Or I want this one for 10 years because it's a very popular one. Or I want this one for a couple of months because it's just new and I'm not sure if it's going to work or not, and we'll see if it works, it will buy for some more, kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
so. If they already bought a year worth of licensing for David Chappelle thing,
the money spent.
You know, the money spent. So they're just gonna like, well, we own it now for a year, so might as well it's on the platform,
I guess. I mean, but it is tricky for Netflix because they're gonna have their reputation a little bit solid, which then brings me to streaming platforms. Right, we are getting more and more into a position where streaming platforms only show their own stuff. I think eventually every single major distributor will have their own platform and you have to pay for all of them to be able to get everything. Whereas before, Netflix would be there and maybe Amazon Prime, right?
Mm.
And between the two of them, they'd buy all the content you could want.
Yeah.
And then Disney Plus comes along and then all the Disney content goes over to them.
Yeah.
And then there was, what's the other one?
HBO?
HBO was already there. That wasn't a streaming platform, although.
Oh.
Gosh, the one that Star Trek Discovery is on. Must be a CBS one or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
There's all these major distributors are starting up their own platforms, and then they are taking back control of their own content.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to a point where you have to buy into a particular distributor, and that's all you're going to get. So for instance, if you went to Amazon, you'd only get Amazon productions. If you went to Netflix, you'd only get Netflix originals.
Yeah.
Or at least things that they financially invested in, because they won't be allowed the license of other things because the people who made it have got their own platforms.
Mm.
And I think that's really weird. I mean, it's a bit like what used to happen with cinemas, that the big major national cinemas used to be also the distributors. This is because I did a degree in film, so I've got a bit of knowledge. But they'd have what was basically vertical. Basically, they'd own everything. They'd own the distribution, the development, and the production was all one company. And so that if they were big, the only films you'd see in their cinemas were the films that they'd personally paid for and made, and that's it. And so to be able to see anything smaller, an alternative, you'd have to go to an art cinema or somewhere peculiar, if you see what I mean. Now, Netflix is great in the sense it does have, you know, smaller content on there, but eventually, I should imagine, people will, other than this, you know, there's some very small art content, if you've got Paramount and, I don't know, you get where I'm going with this, is that it's going to divide the people up into, I'm only going to watch Amazon content, in a bit, in the same sort of way that telly used to be, right? People used to watch ITV or BBC, and they wouldn't watch anything else. My mum, for instance, was very much of the belief that, you know, we shouldn't watch ITV. You should only watch BBC. If you ask anybody of my age, it was a thing. It's that, you know, BBC is for middle class people, and ITV, that's for common people. You don't watch that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have a bad influence. And so we didn't really watch a lot of ITV, although I did, because I, you know, watched kids' cartoons and stuff when I in the 80s. But what I'm saying is that, generally speaking, certain distributors had a better reputation, and I'm just thinking, somewhere down the line, we're slowly turning into that situation again, where people are going to have to decide which one they do. And the difference is, of course, with TVs, you could just, I mean, you get one subscription, as it were, your TV license, and you'd get all of the stations, right? And nowadays, you have to subscribe to each of the different streaming platforms. There's no, I'm going to spend 20 quid and I'm going to get, or whatever it is, 50 quid a month, and I will get a bargain of getting them all at once. Yeah. You have to go, right, I need to pay for, you know, what, is there four now in the UK? So Amazon and Netflix and Disney Plus, and there's probably another one that I can't remember. But anyway, I'm just thinking, is that, doesn't, to me, that I'm not sure it's necessarily a good thing, is what I'm saying, is I've got a feeling we've gone beyond peak distribution of video content, where control starts, financial control and of big corporations is dictating what we can and can't see. Imagine, for instance, if you went into a library and they only had books by one publisher. That's what I'm trying to get at, is that you have to decide, oh, I'm going to go to that library, but I'll go to the other library to get a different publisher. Or if you tried to put it in other contexts, it just sounds really, really weird. I don't know if people do Audible, like you can subscribe and you get audiobooks, but I should imagine, I don't think they're all just Amazon published books. There are all sorts of different publishers, and everyone's allowed on there because there's no competition. But if another, I mean, yes, Big Finish, they've distributed their own, but I think they're, but there's no subscription platform, there's no other subscription alternative. And I was just thinking, it's a bit weird that when it comes to TV and film, it's going to be really, really expensive, and therefore limiting for some people that they can only get to watch some content. And it's, you know, and you could say, well, you could just buy the stuff you like. Yeah, but that's, even that's difficult. DVDs are going out the window. And I don't remember the last time I actually paid to download something. For me, that always feels weird. Do you ever do that?
Pay to download something?
Yeah.
No,
it just seems like if you're going to pay for something, you want a physical object. But yeah, so would you ever pay to download something? No, you wouldn't.
No, I don't think so. But then again, no.
But that's because when you pay for something, you like to have a physical object in your hand.
I mean, technically I did pay to download something.
What did you pay to download?
It's not a download, it's more of an access key thingy.
Alright, go on.
About a year ago, I basically I quote unquote donated £3 to be able to have access to British Sign Language.
Oh, that thing. Is that what it was? £3?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Classes? It's like, you could donate 3 quid or more, and at the time I didn't have a job or anything or whatever, and I wanted to learn British Sign Language, yeah. So I didn't take 3 quid to be able to have access to BSL courses for an entire year. We're now a year later,
yeah,
and I've opened it twice.
It has been
because it's a download, and there's no reminder for you to go and see and do it if on a regular. You just have access to it, like you have access to your pictures on your Outlook kind of thing. But if there's no reminder, you don't go and look at it. And so I'm just like, I kind of feel like I wasted 3 quid in a way. But I mean, it goes to a foundation and for British Sign Language, so it's never wasted when it's for charity.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've had access to all that for an entire year, and I looked at it twice. And it's just because I feel like if I had a book or a CD or a DVD or something, maybe I would have looked at it a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I had like notifications by email or something, or on my phone telling me, hey, you need to like go and learn
like
your thing.
Like an app or something.
Yeah. But I would have learned a bit more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Duolingo, but make it British Sign Language.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of things like that. But, I mean, I get what I'm saying is we're heading towards the whole non-physical, I'm not keen. I mean, I know you're not keen because you like vinyl.
Oh, yes, I love a vinyl.
Which to me is mad.
Why?
Because you're of the wrong generation to like vinyl, but I guess that's the whole point, right?
I don't know. It's coming back.
Yeah, I know it is, but why is it that you like vinyl when it's not necessary to have a physical object in order to enjoy music now?
Because it's such a pretty object. I just like the whole ceremony of grabbing the massive LPs and it's this massive disc. And this massive LP thingy, and getting it out of it, and putting it in the record player, yeah. and oh, it's making a very dusty sound, so you need to take it off, and you need to brush it, take off the dust off of it, and put it back, and be very careful with the needle and everything to not break it and not scratch the vinyl and everything. And it's a whole ceremony of like setting up the thing to listen to music, and it makes it more important?
Yeah.
Question mark?
I can understand that.
It makes it a thing. It makes it a ritual. Instead of just like opening Spotify and just blasting music, it makes it something you are anticipating, as in like getting ready to listen to music like it's something important to do.
That's really cool. I think the ease of access to entertainment now has kind of affected that. I mean, it's like going to the cinema.
No, but just like movies.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to you go to the cinema, you have like you have to wait in line, yeah. You have to go through the adverts and eat popcorn or whatever. Not that you have to, but
no,
you know what
it's
I mean.
Mandatory.
You have to queue and pay for your ticket and wait for the adverts to go on, and you can't pause the movie, and you have to just like enjoy it with a whole bunch of strangers, yeah. And the dogs.
Yeah, so I love all
or
that.
Or even when you watch a DVD at home. You have to open the DVD case and put it in the DVD reader, and then you have to go through the menu and there was a time where there was adverts on the DVDs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or on VHS and you like VHS, you had like adverts for all the stuff,
yeah.
And you had to go through them and go,
yep.
And that, and it was like it made it something special,
no,
instead of just like going on Netflix and just looking through thousands and thousands of stuff that you don't know which one you want to,
yeah,
look at.
So the whole ceremony has been done away with by this digital,
yeah.
Stuff, so and I think that's a loss. I mean, it's even in the olden days, the ceremony of picking something would be going to Blockbuster Video, and you'd have them all on the shelf, and there would be a whole big palaver of what you know, and you all argue and fight over stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas nowadays, you're just going through pages and pages and pages of menus, and it's just not as much fun.
Yeah.
Which, funny, this whole ceremony and stuff is nicely bringing me over to what I... How do I explain this? So, up to recently, I did a degree in film and television, right? But towards the end, I realised, actually, I've got a very strong interest in theatre.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm interested in theatre is precisely because of this whole ritual, I guess, of the fact that we all gather together together at once and experience an event simultaneously happening right in front of us.
Mm.
And the fact that we are there is part of the event.
Yeah.
And it will never ever be repeated again, because another audience will come and that will be a different audience, and they may laugh at different times of funny bits, or they may respond differently. And I think that's very special. I think this, the uniqueness of live theatre is what makes it special. I really like live drama. Now, years ago, television used to be live, which is a mad idea. I'm talking about television drama here.
Yeah.
So, 1950s show called Quatermass.
Yeah.
I can't remember if we talked about it on the podcast before. It's sci-fi. And it was recorded live.
Yeah.
And the actors would be on the set, and it would be happening, as far as I know, I think I've got this correct, they'd be on set at the time of the broadcast. And it would be broadcast like a live... And I think they should bring that back. I know there are such things as, you know, NT Live events, but they're in the cinema. Why... And I think what's going on with the whole TV, you know, Netflix and all that sort of stuff, being you can watch whatever you want, whenever you want, no one has taken into consideration the brilliance of not having a choice. I think it's really good that you don't have a choice of when something happens. That if something happens and you miss it, that's it, it's gone forever.
Mm.
You know, it used to be, you know, it's starting, quick. It's about to come on telly and you can't, you know, oh my God, I need the loo. Tough. You've just got to, you know, you're going to miss something because it was special.
Yeah.
And the whole ceremony of gathering together and watching telly at the same time, because it was happening once and once only, that's gone since we can now... I mean, putting aside Netflix and stuff, you've also got, you know, Sky...
Replay,
and you can pause telly, live telly at any time. So there is no such...
No, but even if you don't pause it, and some people are already like, oh, I don't know, Doctor Who's going to be on.
Yeah.
Not that anyone would be excited about that anymore. But, oh my God, Doctor Who is starting. Come gather round, family.
Yeah.
Gather round. And then you go, nah, I'll watch tomorrow.
Yeah, because you can.
I'll just go on iPlayer. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean...
And you don't have the thrill of, like, you know...
I think the only reason why anyone now...
Running from your... bedroom and like sitting in the living room and just being like, oh my God, I almost missed it.
The only reason why now you want to watch it at broadcast is for fear of spoilers, where people...
Yeah, but even that is not a thing anymore.
Well, what do you mean?
Because imagine you don't want to be spoiled on Twitter or something. You just go on Twitter and like you mute the words Doctor Who and...
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Alright.
You mute Doctor Who, you mute Jodie, you mute 12 or 13.
Or whatever.
Or Doctor and TARDIS, and you mute a whole bunch of like lingo of something you don't want to be spoiled, and then you're not going to be showing those.
I did not know you could do that.
Yeah, you can mute some words.
Is that only on Twitter?
I don't know.
But what I'm saying is, though, that would be a reason to not, because people go on social media constantly, or people will message you and go, oh my God, have you just seen, you know, my mate Tony, he's been on the podcast, Tony, every time Doctor Who's on, we talk about Doctor Who afterwards, but we check, have you seen it?
Yeah.
On the assumption that we probably have watched it live, but if we haven't, we'll watch it later.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of us all collectively watching something together seems to have gone off. So yeah, there's an internet joke, isn't there, about somebody tweeting, hey, did you ever think that somebody's listening to the same song as you right now?
Yeah.
And the reply is, yes, I have actually heard of FM radio. You know? Because nowadays people couldn't even... I mean, the joke is on the fact that nowadays, young people, I'm going to assume, but people of... the current generation are so used to having content of infinite variety whenever they want. The idea that
Some,
we didn't used to have the choice, and it would be broadcast to us live.
Yeah.
Seems an alien concept.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a loss. I quite like being forced to have stuff I didn't know about. How do you ever? I mean, we talked about this before when we talked about YouTube, but how do you ever discover anything new if you only ever rely on either your own selection choices, which the YouTube algorithm thinks, oh, I'm going to find you more things that you like.
Yeah.
You know, how do you ever find anything that's completely different? Which is why I prefer listening to something like Six Music. That's why I used to, you know, when I was at work, I used to listen to Six Music. Simply because I knew that at least a third, probably more, of the stuff on it, I never even heard of. So I'm deliberately choosing to listen to something that I don't know, because that way I can discover new things.
Mm.
Whereas I think nowadays people don't do that, and they will go where they know stuff and they feel comfortable. And because we've got that infinite variety of choice, I think people go where either they know already, or they've been highly recommended by their friends, saying, you know, and or essentially something's gone viral, been saying it's really, really popular, so go and watch that. But it relies on popularity or your existing, you know, taste. But whereas in olden days, you'd have just infinite variety given to you, and you just say, well, try that, okay, then try that, and then try that. And it's as if, dare I say it, Spotify's been put on complete random. Can you imagine? All songs ever made, ever, on complete and utter shuffle.
Well.
With no algorithm involved whatsoever.
Mm.
Can you, I guess you could listen to a specific genre of music, but even that's being, I think that's being too selective, because in broadcast media, you'd have a show about a particular genre, but then the next show would be about a different genre that you didn't pre-select.
Mm.
So, I think there's a lot to be said for randomness, which is exactly what this show is about, he says, bringing the show back.
Yeah,
we talk about stuff we do not get to decide. When we invented this podcast, people asked us, or asked me anyway, what's the subject going to be about? And I'm like, well, we don't know. Well, how can you do a podcast where you don't know what it's going to be you're talking about? Well, that's the point, is that we discover stuff by being given things that we don't know about. Otherwise, we're just one of those other podcasts where people have we could have pre-written it and had a script. And I think there's a lot to be said for random. That's what I'm saying.
No, randomness is a little thrill to it, isn't it?
Well, I just think you discover more. I'm going to bring it back.
Well,
go on.
But it's just crossed my head. You know, like, when I was young, you would buy Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh! Decks of cards.
Okay.
And you didn't know what you were going to get.
Okay. Yeah. You mean when you buy them and you could have anything? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, well.
There was a whole bunch of stuff like that when I was young, where you'd buy something from, insert here, some sort of
trading cards?
No, thing? Label, some sort of
brand.
Like brand.
Yeah.
Insert some sort of brand like Pokemon
or
Harry Potter or whatever.
Yeah.
And you didn't know what you were going to get, and there was a thrill of, what the heck am I going to get?
Yeah, surprise. Well, I mean, I was thinking, when I was talking to J. Michael Straczynski about character, I was telling him that, I think, said this about this before on the podcast, I can never remember what I'd say to people and what do I say on the podcast. So, apologies if you've heard this before. But essentially, I was saying to him that I was struggling coming up with character stuff. How do I decide what attributes my character has? Because it doesn't feel real. And, you know, as opposed, some people have characters in their head and they go, oh yes, no, my character, Julian, is a hedge fund manager from Barnsley, and he's got blonde hair, and they know, and they seem to think that that's the truth. And I know it's complete cobblers. So I can't do that. When it comes to characters, I don't know how people have these predefined characters already in existence. And I said, you know, how do you come up with this stuff? And we talked a bit, and he said, well, just do it at random. Just, you know, randomly, just, and whatever the first thought that comes into your head, make that truth.
Mm.
And then you're stuck with it. And you can, I mean, I recently had to create a bit of character work for my master's degree.
Yeah.
It was very simple. But we were asked lots of questions, and my lecturer knew that I struggled with character work. And he didn't know I'd talked to I spoke to J. Michael Straczynski about this, but he said he knows that I struggled with this sort of factual, not factual stuff. And so he gave us a big string of about 15 questions. But rather than writing down the correct answer for each question, as in, what is the character, where do they live, you know, what is their gender, that sort of thing, instead of doing the correct answer, I would do whatever was the first answer that sprang into my head, and then write that down. It doesn't matter what it is, don't question it, don't challenge it, don't argue with it, don't edit it, just write it down, and you're just stuck with it. In a bit, so for instance, the character was an old man from the moon who was Asian, as some say. And it was just like, so, and suddenly, and it was just the first things that sprang into my head. Not because I had an image of this person on the moon,
yeah,
but because it was just the question in and of itself, what's the first answer that springs to me? When someone asks that question, what are you going to come up with? What's that question? And don't relate it to the previous question. Yeah. Just, and you just end up with a stack of facts. And they're all random, and then somehow you've got to combine these randomness, and I really like the result.
Yeah.
Now, if someone had said to me, come up with a character, Phil, I would never have come up with that character.
Mm.
And I really enjoyed that creative process of coming up with this story that I never would have come up with out of choice, but because it had been randomly given to me by my own subconscious that I chose not to edit, because that's not the rule. If you see what I mean. So the rule, it's a bit like when you do improv, and not when you do improv, but when one does improv, you're not supposed to question what it is you're doing, you just go with it. Whatever the first instinct is, speed is more important than quality, if you see what I mean. If you get both, then that's great, but just go with the first thought that comes into your head, but fully commit to it. And I think doing that random, just embracing that randomness is a really good thing, and I just think that that's we should try to encourage that. That's all.
I agree.
Yeah. I haven't got anything else on that one.
Well, I think that was quite a lot already. Well, that was the Phil lecture.
That's sorry. Yes, I know.
Very interesting, I thought.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I'm not quite so convinced.
I didn't say much, but I was quite interested in everything you had to say.
If anyone thinks what I'm saying is complete nonsense, or indeed thinks that they agree, please let us know and get in touch with us on the Facebook and the Twitter at
Can I Ever Buy?
And yeah, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to be a guest on the show, then do let us know. It's entirely possible we may do future episodes.
Oh dear, yes, we might.
We might do, if we get around to it. It would be nice to do some more, but this is likely to be the last one for a little while. Anyway, so so there we go. That was
Can I Have a Word?
And it's on all the platforms of the which you know, of the podcast variety. And yeah, so we'd be very happy if you could listen to more episodes, and I'm sure we may well make some more in the future.
Yes.
But other than that, thank you very much for listening, and bye.